Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jim.
All right, Jim, Timberwolves win pretty easily against the Dallas Mavericks last night. They got off to a big lead, held on to it, 120-96 the final. Your thoughts on the Wolves?
Yeah, they caught a bad team without a couple of their better players, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving out. Cooper Flags, he's going to be really good, but he's 19 years old. He'll be pointed out, he was a sophomore in high school 3 years ago. He's still figuring things out. He's gonna be good, but he's not going to carry a team at this point. So it was a game sitting there to win, and they won it. Played really well. Probably the best development is they got Naz Reid going. He's had a slow start, perhaps related to the death of his sister this summer. He's starting to play well offensively. He looked really good last night. The offense is flowing, and I also just love the way Jalen Clark plays. I feel like every time he comes in, he makes a hustle play or an intuitive defensive play that gives his team an advantage. He's really been something special this year. So, and listen, beating bad teams might not be exciting, but it's a great way to build a strong record. A few years ago, the Wolves really struggled against bad teams and it really damaged them in terms of seeding. They really haven't beaten a good team this year, but they've generally dominated the bad teams, and that's a good way to build your record while you're still, they still do have a little bit of cohesiveness to build here. DiVincenzo in the starting lineup, kind of figuring out who's going to play when and how off the bench. So it's a good thing to win, beat bad teams while you're figuring all that stuff out.
Well, and the Wolves are a good team. They went into the Western Conference Finals last couple of years, and it's one of those things. I think Minnesotans, a lot of times we complain about our teams being mediocre. This Wolves team is not mediocre. They're better than that.
Two Western Conference Finals in a row, first time in franchise history. Playoffs a number of years in a row now. A threat, at least a threat to win it all. Oklahoma City has to be considered the favorite, but they're doing this in a very strong Western Conference as well. They're well run, they're well coached, they're cohesive, and I really think this offense this year, the way Julius Randle has now fit into it, with DiVincenzo also fitting in as a starter, and Naz Reid, getting back to being himself off the bench, I just think this might be their best offensive team by the time the season's over.
Jim, and you brought up Jalen Clark and his defensive ability. Jalen is, 6'5"? He's played against guys bigger than him. Is he the type of guy that as he gains more confidence and continues to play a lot of minutes, that he could really be a nice asset for them in the playoffs?
I think so. Absolutely. And he's strong enough to, and he uses a proper technique to really be able to bother bigger players. He can kind of get up, what they say, get up under them, really kind of get into their personal space in a way that makes it hard for them to dribble, to clear themselves, to get shots off. He's really strong. He's quick. He has good lateral quickness. And he has, I think, an underrated aspect of sports like basketball is balance. If you're strong but you don't have balance, you're just not going to be very effective. If you ever watch him move, he never looks like he's reaching. He always looks like, it's back to the basketball fundamentals we all learned in like the third grade or whatever. You move your feet, you don't reach with your hands. Well, he moves his feet so well, he never looks like he's out of balance, even when he's moving quickly. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what his job on the team is. And, he said something very intelligent at the preseason press conference. He said, basically, if I can play great defense and shoot 40% from three, I'm going to get a lot of playing time. And that's exactly right. Of course, he's such a good defender. I think if he didn't shoot 43% from three, he'd still be valuable. But he knows his role. If he plays defense, makes hustle plays, creates extra possessions, and shoots well when they get to kick the ball to him and he's open, it's hard not to play him a lot of minutes.
Jim, last night, Monday Night Football, the Cowboys beat the Raiders 33-16. Dak Prescott threw for four touchdowns. Cowboys meet some trades to improve their defense. Is their defense better, or is the Raiders' offense not good?
Both. The Raiders' offensive line is terrible. I think Genty is a really good back. He just, he's getting hit before he gets the line of scrimmage. Geno Smith, he's proven that he can be a solid NFL quarterback. He's not mobile, and he's not getting much time. They don't really have deep receiving threats to stretch the field. and Brock Bowers is their best player, and they probably don't get him the ball enough. So it's they're a bad team, no doubt about it. Dallas is better defensively. Now, they're about to play like three of the best teams in football here in the next 3 weeks, so they're going to get tested. But their defense is better. You put Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams next to each other. You bring back Overshown at linebacker. Their front seven is much better than it has been. Their defensive backs, I thought, played really well last night. They made plays on the ball. I don't know if they're going to do that against better receivers, but they at least played well last night. And I think they play the Eagles next, and the Eagles, you know, are not doing much offensively since they left Minnesota. So that'll be a really fascinating matchup because the Cowboys want to score 40 on you, and the Eagles tend to play in a way and win by 4 points. It's going to be really interesting to see what the game flow in that game is like.
Jim, do you think the Raiders are going to move on from Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly?
I mean, that's the easy thing to do. It is a bad team. Listen, I love Pete Carroll. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. But that offense isn't working. So the question is the offense not working because of coaching, or do they simply need better offensive linemen? You know, I think my guess is if you upgraded the offensive line and added one speed receiver, that offense could come alive. I really think Genty, Bowers, you know, they have okay possession receivers, but if you added one speed receiver offensive line to that group, they could suddenly be much better. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Chip Kelly's, frankly. Obviously, he's had success as an offensive coach. I think people have kind of caught up with him in the NFL. So I would be in favor of new offensive coordinator, but keeping Pete Carroll.
Jim, the Vikings, certainly when it comes to personnel moves, you got the draft, you got free agency. How has Kwesi done, do you think, in both of those areas?
I wrote about that today, and here's the point I'll make. Listen, basically, we've all said the obvious. He's had bad drafts, and he's done very well in veteran free agency and trades. Well, yes and no. You know, last year's team was built largely on veteran free agents and trades, and he did exceptionally well in that regard. This year's crop of veteran free agents is not performing well, and he overspent on them. And he overspent on them to make up for his bad drafts. So we're seeing the bad drafts catch up. And here's the point I made in my column today. He traded down in his first draft, in the first round, and he traded up twice in the 2024 draft, which is the most important draft of his tenure. So he traded down 2022. He traded up twice 2024 in the first round. He ended up in those drafts with Lewis Cine, J.J. McCarthy, and Dallas Turner. If he had not traded down in the first draft, and if he had not spent draft capital to trade up in 2024, and just kind of taken the best player available to him with those picks, he could have had Kyle Hamilton, all-pro safety, Bo Nix, you know, a winning quarterback who's much farther along than J.J. McCarthy, and then he could have traded up to 17 I think 17 they traded up to get Dallas Turner. He could have had Jared Verse, one of the best defensive linemen in the league, or they could have just stayed at 23 and taken Quinion William Mitchell, who's a great cornerback for the Eagles. So if he had done nothing creative and just taken the player, think about this team with Kyle Hamilton, all-pro safety, Bo Nix at quarterback, and let's say Quinion William Mitchell at cornerback. This team would probably be like 8-2 and the toast of the NFL.
Jim, the Gopher men's basketball team is going to play against Chicago State tonight. I know non-conference game, but they struggled to win a non-conference game against Green Bay on Saturday. Any thoughts on the Gopher men's team?
They don't have much scoring. They don't have a lot of size. Crocker Johnson's a nice player. They kind of have one scorer and one rebounder and a bunch of hustle players, and that's just not going to work. Unless they find somebody. And Azuma's a nice young point guard, but he's not dynamic. He's not going to break down the defense. I don't know if he's going to be a pure scorer. They just have a lot of average players, you know. And we're just going to have to be patient. And this is probably going to be a rough season in the Big Ten, and you just have to give Nico some time.
The Gopher women are going to play at Kansas tomorrow. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. They keep, you know, they had they've had so much. They lose a key player to transfer. They continue to have key injuries. The hope for the team, though, is they still have Braun, Battle, you know, Grohalski. They have some good players, and their best players are healthy, even though they've had injuries. Their absolute best players are healthy, and this will be a nice test for them because I think this. I think there's some high end possibilities for this team, but you got to see it.
Jim, anything going on with the Twins as far as free agency or anything else, coaching, any of those things happening?
They did fill out their coaching staff. I won't run down all the names. Toby, you know, obviously LaTroy Hawkins had been, that story had been broken by Bobby Nightingale at my paper. Does a great job covering the Twins. Toby Gardenhire is going to be on the staff. And then, you know, a bunch of names that you probably hadn't heard before. You know, Bobby did a piece in today's paper that it was good pointing. Really interesting because he basically said that he talked to a bunch of the Twins execs and they're not telling us what their plans are for the offseason, probably because they're not going to spend any money and the people we get to interview aren't going to throw the poll ads under the bus. So it sounds like, and they're talking about going young, right? It's kind of obvious, but they did actually say it out loud for the first time. And Bobby listed four prospects he thinks could rise fairly quickly. You know, Walker Jenkins, obviously, and the thing they say about him is not only does he have a chance to be a great offensive player, he's also an exceptional defensive center fielder, which is interesting. Kalen Culpepper is probably the shortstop of the future, power-hitting shortstop, who's probably going to start this year at AAA as a shortstop. I think Walker Jenkins will start this year at AAA as a center fielder. Gabriel Gonzalez, who they got in the Polanco trade, who's a right-handed hitting outfielder they really like. They need right-handed hitting outfielders. And then Connor Prelip, lefty, who they think is probably might be their best pitching prospect. And there's been some speculation that he might be a closer or a reliever. They're talking about him as they think he can be a dynamic starter. What's also interesting, they left Emmanuel Rodriguez off that list. And he had an okay year at AAA last year, but he didn't look like the phenom we expect him to be. So that's what we have to look forward to.
So if they're going to look for those young players, does that mean they're trading away some veteran guys?
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know who has trade value. I mean, obviously we talked about Joe Ryan, and I think trading him would be a mistake unless he get an incredible haul back. You know, nobody wants Trevor Larnach. Nobody wants I just think you're going to have an open competition between the guys who are currently trying to hold on to their spots on the roster and the guys who are bound to replace them at some point. And you're not going to get anything from trading Trevor Larnach, right? So I just think they're going to kind of let these guys fight it out.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Let's see. Full slate is up from last week, including Chin Music, Roy Smalley, and Lavelle Neal III that I recommend. We had Alec Lewis, who does a podcast for us on the Vikings, does it twice a week, does a really good job on it. He was on Mark Rosen Sports Monday with Mark. You can check that out as well. And we're going to start the new cycle today with the John Krasinski Show and the Viking Update Show, and everything will be at TalkNorth.com.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Suhan Strib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Dream Getaway 89, our first code word of the day is blue. B-L-U-E, the color blue, B-L-U-E. That is the first code word of the day. Type that in. You can win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word is blue, B-L-U-E. News next.